Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Mommy Files of a New Black Mom. I have missed y'all. I have missed y'all immensely. So much has happened. And I know my last episode was like a pivoting turning point in our conversation. And I took a little hiatus to get my shit together. Not gonna lie, I'm human, I'm young, I'm unprepared. And I'm sorry, but I'm back, bitches. So let's just play catch up. This is what we're gonna call the catch up to get back. I'm okay. I'm blessed. I'm back. So last time we talked, I told you, you know, me and my partner were separating, and I had decided to take a step out on faith and leave. And I say this as a Black mom. I say this as a new Black mom. Don't stay because of your child. Hold that. It was a lesson I learned. And I'll say this. Kids, family, life, happiness are all important factors. But being a Black mom and a new Black mom and a woman, I had to do what was best for me and my child. This podcast has been a stepping stone in my life because I've opened up, been very vulnerable, been very open, been very honest. And a lot of the issues that come with it is the fact that because I'm human and because of the lifestyle that I've lived, I've always wanted to do podcasts, and me being as inconsistent as I am in life, my podcast has suffered over the last couple months due to COVID, due to life changes, due to everything. So me and my daughter moved into our new place. I love it immensely. It is a home. Can I say that again for the bitches in the back? It is a home. The last few months have been really hard on me. I never thought I would be single. One, a single mother. Two, and living in my own space. So what can sound crazy is when you ask God for a sign. My mom's like, don't ask God for things if you can't handle when he gives it to you. And I kept saying, God, give me a sign. Give me signs. Give me signs that this is not where I need to be. I need something. And I kept looking at these signs and ignoring them. I ignored the infidelity. I ignored the hurt. I ignored the mental abuse, the emotional abuse, the slightly physical abuse. And I put myself in a position where I should have left a long time ago. And I feel like as a woman, we put ourselves in predicaments where we cover up what we think everyone goes through. And I learned that from watching, listening, and hearing other women talk about having to get out of their situation. Mental health is a big issue in this country, in this world, in this time that we're living in. COVID is still happening. Places are reshutting down, and people are going through mental hurdles that they did not expect. They didn't expect us to still be on lockdown come now, almost December. They didn't expect us to have a second wave as soon as we started getting comfortable coming out of our first wave. They didn't expect us to have to stay home and battle those battles, whether it be your children battling hunger, your relationships battling emotional, your personal life, mental, just everything that was going on. COVID has put it on the front burner for us to face like a brick wall. And I'll say I myself hindered a lot of my progress because I was afraid of starting over. And when I say afraid to start over, I don't mean afraid to have to, you know, meet new people and get back in the dating thing. I mean, leaving a bad situation and having to, one, be alone. Being alone is something I've never come to grasp with because I've always had a roommate. I've always had family. I've always had people. And this is the first time I've lived in my own, with my own, on my own, by myself. And baby, it's an adjustment. Having to take out your own trash, ghetto. I hate it. Don't want to do it. Two, having to have bills that you have no one to say, hey, I don't have money to pay this. I got to figure it out. But in the last few weeks, I've had to, well, I'll say months. I had to get a new car because my beautiful, faithful Roland coupe said, baby girl, you keep saying, you know, you're going to get a new car and you need a new car. And you're dragging your ass. And my car finally said no and gave up. I was grateful because my daughter's father was like, you know, I have a second vehicle. If you need it, it's here. It lasted probably 3 days before I was like, yeah, let me get my shit together. Because one, I've always been independent. And two, I don't like having to depend on someone else and their thing. And what I mean by that is we as humans feel like, you know, you always need someone. You're always going to need someone, whether it be your parents, your guardians, your teachers, your whatever. I myself had to go and purchase my own vehicle. I had to put my own credit on the line, my own money on the line. No one came and said, I'll co-sign. I made sure I got that vehicle under my own regard. Why? Because, baby, I had to. For the betterment of myself. And the fact that I had a two-year-old trying to get into a coupe with a car seat and a stroller and my things. And I couldn't even put my stroller and groceries in my car. That's how bad it was. So that happened. And I'm so grateful for my new car. Baby is chef kiss. Two, going through COVID, I had to go through some life changes with work. Work was really good over the summer, and we went through so many changes and so much things and so many ups and downs. And it was like the uncertainty of what my job life was going to be became very forefront of, you know, you have to be stable to take care of your kid. And I was like, girl, be stable. But I also made it my business to take my unemployment and put it towards something other than crabs. Because let me tell you, if you see how well these people got their unemployment and spent it like it was free money, it was crazy. Two, I myself had to realize my relationship was not a blissful one. And I won't say I didn't know it was bad. I knew it was bad. I knew it was bad before I had my daughter, and it became worse after I had her. And we went through what I would say every relationship goes through when it comes to growing pains. We went from, you know, me coming into a already, what my mom calls, ready-made family, where I already had stepkids, I already had family, I already had things. And I had to adjust my life from a single woman to a mother of four kids, a fiance, a household to maintain. I had all these things that mentally I felt prepared for. But here's the kicker. You have to have a partner to have a home. What I mean by that is, I felt very alone. I felt very by myself. I ignored the red flags of feeling by myself. And once I got pregnant and life began to hit what I call the speedway, where I couldn't slow down, I had no brakes, it was all 90 miles an hour and you had to keep up, I slowly began to fail. I found myself in a very deep, settled depression. I was depressed because not only did I have kids I then had to become responsible for, but I had a household I had to maintain that wasn't with a partner. It felt very alone. I had a house full of people and felt very much by myself. I had no place in my home. I felt like a visitor, a stranger at times, in a home that I had built. I myself put myself in that predicament, and I had to get myself and my child out of that predicament. I knew I had to get out. How was the hard part? It started with me knowing I had to leave, find my own place, and then establish my own place. So I made it my business. My birthday was November 2nd. I turned 30. I said, by the time I reach 30, baby, you will not be in this house. You are not going to bring in your 30th birthday in this house. And I didn't. October 15th, I got the keys to my home, and I moved. I hired a moving crew. I had my little coins together. I paid my bills. I was able to move. I was able to get my car. I got off my father's phone plan. Don't judge me. My daddy didn't tell me I had to get off in so many words, but I knew I had to become solo. And solo in the fact that I had to become an adult. And becoming an adult didn't mean, you know, oh, is mine. It was like, you are now responsible for someone other than yourself. So you have to maintain everything. So what I did was put myself on a time span where I knew things had to happen. And because I knew it had to happen, I had to push myself outside of my comfort zone to make it happen. Now, will I say it was easy? Absolutely not. Will I say everyone can do it? Absolutely. Why? Because at the end of the day, I wasn't by myself. I couldn't just go run a room and no. I had to say, girl, get your shit together and get your life back on track. So getting my shit together meant getting my own place, getting my own car, getting my own phone, getting my own bills, and saying, you are now responsible. It's your duty, it's your job as a woman to get your shit together and not wait for someone to save you. And it was really hard. I cried a lot. I was stressed. My anxiety was through the roof because all I kept thinking is, he's going to make it so hard for me to leave. He's going to make it so hard for me to have my daughter. He's going to make it so hard. And I kept using that as a crutch. And when I told him, like, no, I'm really leaving, it was scarier than me telling him I didn't want to be with him, because leaving meant I was dismembering a household that we had established. Was it selfish? Yes. But it was selfish because it had to be. Was it hard? Absolutely. Again, because it had to be. I had to make it so that I was so uncomfortable that I had no other urge but to be comfortable. And one of the hardest parts about it is the fact that we never want to face our fears head on. We always want to come back and look around the corner and see if they're still there waiting for us. And I'm a big procrastinator. And I had to make some really hard decisions. But I found a home that I'm in love with. It's close to her school. It's still on my side of town. It had all the things I wanted. I had 2 bedrooms, so she had her own space. I was able to get furniture. I was able to do the things I needed to do because I had to. The second thing was getting myself in a position to be loved again. What I mean by that is I put myself very vulnerably back in the dating scene, not necessarily to find a boyfriend or a mate, but to find someone who would love me again. And I had to start with myself, because I'll say this, when you're in a shitty relationship, you go through so much time of someone not loving you right, you think that's how you're supposed to be loved. And I learned, This ain't love if this is what you want to do. I knew I wasn't happy. And because I knew that, I had to then force myself to get not only myself, but everything I needed on track. And the hardest part of that was knowing it could go immediately left before it got right. And people will tell you, you know, I'm so proud of you, and you, I can't believe you did it, girl, me either. I knew for sure I was gonna fail. I knew for sure I wasn't gonna make it. I knew for sure it was going to be a fail. And I'll say this, don't ever look at yourself in a way that you're so afraid of failing that you don't want to try. I didn't want to try because I knew I was already risking so much to get where I thought I was going to go. I knew because it was so hard that me wanting it and me needing it and me trying it was gonna take balls and bigger balls than I've ever had in my life. And I don't want people to look at it like, oh, you did it, girl, it's over. It's not, it's far from over, because at the end of the day, knew that the changes were going to come with some discomfort or struggle, and I just would have to suck it up and make the best of it. So, bitch, I did that. I did exactly the things people told me were going to be easy, and I said, okay, we'll see if it's easy. It wasn't. And I give my friends a lot of credit because they were there for me through it all. I had such a great support system. Friends, family, loved ones, coworkers, people who I didn't know I needed. And when you think you're by yourself, it's so easy to doubt your own moves. It's so easy to know you're gonna fail and think, wow, I'm really about to fail, and not know if I fail, it's okay, because I know how to get out of failure. I knew how to get out of failure. Done it before, failed a few times, but now I had a person who depended on me. I had a person who I couldn't fail just yet. And because of that, it made me go super hard. And it made me go and get it. I knew facing what was right in front of me was going to be harder because I didn't want to subsequently look at myself as, oh, you let her down. It was like, no, you don't have a choice to let her down. You know you have to get your shit together. You know what is at stake if you fail. If you have to work two jobs, if you gotta hustle, bustle, sell dope, all that crazy shit people talk about, they made it out the mud, baby girl. I know. So I'm working two jobs, and yeah, that sounds like the worst thing ever. Like, girl, you making money. It's never too much money to be made, first of all. Two, I knew I was going to get backlash. And it may not have been from her father, but it was going to be from all of the things I was afraid to look at for myself. I was afraid to look at myself as a failure. I was afraid to look at myself as being inconsistent. And inconsistent is hard when you have people who are going to already judge you. Because you're like, damn, I already fucked up. I can't fuck up anymore. I already, you know, did the best I can do. How can I get it together? And I just wanted to be happy again. And being happy was going to cost me more than I ever thought I could sacrifice. I wanted her to be happier than I could ever be happy myself. But I also wanted her to know mommy was not going to let the failures around her dictate her next step. And I made it my business to be a better version of myself to ensure we both were happy. Because that's the only people I care about. I don't care if anybody else happy. I don't care if anybody else thinks this is a good idea. It was like, baby girl, at the end of the day, we gonna be all right. So I did what I had to do. And I'm grateful because I can talk now in a place and in a space where I'm not sad and I'm not crying and I'm not depressed and I'm not stressed and I'm not feeling overwhelmed in such a way where I'm sick or I'm hiding out. I was living in my own home, in my name, hiding in my room because I was just like, this isn't my house. This isn't my home. I'm a guest here. And it felt crazy because when I said it to my homegirl, she was like, what do you mean? I'm like, you ever live somewhere or be in a space where you know it's not for you? I said, you might get that gut feeling when you go to school or go to a college that's really far, or you move out your parents' house and you've been so accustomed to the things in the life that they've given you that you feel a little bit privileged. I was so privileged because I've always been in a home and a place where I felt welcome, that me having to get, or not even get, me having to be in a place that didn't feel like home to me made me so uncomfortable. I was like, you gotta go. You gotta get it together, girl. And I'm grateful now because I look back and I laugh because I'm like, how did you do that for so long? How did you stay so long? How did you, you know, not cry more? How did you not fear more? I was so fearful of starting over, I wasn't even going to try. And I wasn't going to try because, again, trying meant I could fail. I could fail and I could do this and I could do that. And I just wanted things to be better. That's all. I wanted things to be better so much that she would know this was still home. I was so scared she was going to come in here and freak out and be like, I miss my daddy and I'm going to go home. And again, it was the opposite. I made sure her room was set up so when she got here, it felt like she was supposed to be here. I got it so when she felt like home was where she was, it wasn't a strange place or this new place that she had to adjust to. When I say my daughter, I said, baby, we're home. And she goes, she looks around and she's just trying to figure out where the fuck we are. And she sees all her stuff and I made her room feel like hers. I made sure I hung up pictures of her sisters and her father. And I made sure I made her room look and feel like hers. Sis didn't even need adjustment. She didn't even need any kind of pep talk. She was okay. And that made me look and go, well, if she's okay, that means I could be okay. Because she looked at this place in a very clear view of, oh, my bed, my stuff, my things, I'm here, it's home. And I did the same. And I made it so she never felt like a stranger in her own home. She felt like this is where she was needed to be. And I love where I am. And it may not be perfect. It's not going to be the five star, the four seasons, the big old house. But it was like, I kept looking at places. And I'll say this comically now, because I was just like, I need to find a place. First place I saw, I loved it, but it wasn't a good fit. Her room was right off the kitchen. It was like this old place that looked like it needed a lot of love. And it was in a really crappy neighborhood. And I was like, I can't come home from work late or bring her in here. I didn't feel safe. I didn't feel great. It was all the way on the other side of town. And then I saw a couple more places and they felt too big. I was like, it's just me and her. I don't need a 3-bedroom house. And I don't need all this space. I just need enough space for us to get into and be happy. And then I saw one more place and I was like, okay, you know, this is cool, but it's small and it's too small. This is like going from, you know, a home to a closet. So when I saw this place, I was on the phone with my best friend on FaceTime and they're doing, you know, the contactless viewing. So they left the key so you can see it by yourself and you pick a time and they give you the code. So when I came and I saw it, I said, oh my God, this is it. My best friend's like, you love it? I said, girl, this is home. And she was like, well, put in the application. So I got off the phone with her, put in my application. And like, I waited and I waited. And like a week later, about four or five days later, the lady was like, oh, the apartment's gone. I said, okay, lady. I said, so here's the thing. If another apartment comes up in this complex, I want it. It's a small complex, it's private. It's off the beaten road. It's not really easily seen. It's not a place people could just say they saw me. It's in the cut. It's 2-bedroom, 1-bath. It has a washer and dryer in there. It has a dishwasher. It's an updated kitchen. It's nice big rooms. I can fit all my shit. If something comes up, give it to me. She was like, I got you. Like a week later, she's like, 2 apartments are up. Whichever one gets out first, I'll give it to you. I said, cool. So So the first one, she's like, oh, it's the top floor. And I'm like, Lord, a third floor walk up, all these stairs, all these kids, you know, my kid, all the stuff I got to bring. And I'm just like, this is going to be hell. And she was like, that one's not going to be ready. Sorry, I gave you false hope. 2 days later, I got an apartment for you. She said the second floor, which is technically the first. She was like, it'll be ready in a week, if not less. And when I say me and this girl, I talked to her so much. I was like, she know me. We friends now. Literally, I talked to her Monday. She was like, I'll have the keys to you by Friday. Thursday, she called me. I have the keys. Go pick them up. Move it. And I laugh now because I was definitely in my feelings. I got the keys. I got in and I said, this is mine. This is mine. I exhaled the first time in months, looking at a place and a space that was mine, that God had given me. And when I say I'm so grateful, because you think things are meant for you, and when it's really meant for you, it shatters your thoughts, your dreams, it's yours. My God is yours. And I literally had a week before my move in, because I told the mover, like, hey, I'm gonna move Saturday, this date. And they were like, cool. So when I got the keys a week early, I literally spent that week coming here every day, because I didn't want to be in the house, and I didn't want to be around the people, and I didn't want to be around anybody. And I just wanted to be in here so bad. And when it came time to move, we had a couple moments where we, you know, had a little bit of frustration. But when it was over, you know, I was still respectful. I was still nice. I was still caring. I was still loving. And, you know, we talked it up. We pieced it up. I made sure I didn't put him out so he could say, oh, she put me out and man didn't give a fuck, or she did this and she did that. And I laugh now, because once I moved and I got settled in that first night, I was so happy. I was so happy because I slept. The first time I've really slept in months. And I kept telling people, like, I'm not sleeping. And my best friends were so concerned. They're like, girl, you have to get some sleep. And I'm like, I don't sleep. My mind, my anxiety, my stress, my worries, my pain, I was wearing it on my back in the smallest of book bags. But I was carrying it. And because I was carrying it, I knew I was carrying such a load that my body wouldn't rest. And I would go to bed 9 o'clock. I wouldn't fall asleep until almost 4. And I had to be up at 7 to take her to daycare. And I was just like, girl, you gotta get some sleep. So when I moved and my body said rest, I rest. When my body was like, you can sleep peacefully now, I slept. And I've slept more now. I feel like my body is playing catch up, but I slept so much because in my head, I never really thought I was missing sleep because I was unhappy. It was more like I slept because I finally had room to sleep. So, at the end of the day, I'm happy. At the end of the day, I'm home. At the end of the day, if I have to work 3 jobs to keep this place, motherfucker, flipping burgers, doing hair, like they said, doing hair, selling weed, and having a daycare out of one house is my name. But I'm grateful. Can't nobody take it from me. Can't nobody say they did it. Can't nobody say, oh, I made you, I broke you, none of that. My car is in my name, my tag, my title, my thing. My apartment, my name, my tag, my title, my thing. My phone, my kid, anything that's in this house that has to do with me, no one, you hear me? No motherfucking one can say it's because of them. So I'm grateful. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm dipped in the Holy Ghost, girl, when I tell you. The peace I have now, can't nobody tell me it was this good. And yes, I'm sad some days, and I feel lonely some days, and I'm in my bag and my feelings. But like I told my best friend, I get sad because I know I'm alone. I get sad because I didn't prepare myself to be alone now. If I told you 4 years ago that I was going to be alone now, I'd be like, you're crazy, girl. You marrying that man. You're going to be with him. Y'all going to have a family. But I look back and say, girl, you should have left before. You should have ran, silly. But if I didn't go through those pains, I wouldn't know what it's like to have sunshine. And I went through all that rain. I went through rain for years. And I thought I was so happy. But now when my friends are going through it, I'm like, girl, I'm not telling you to leave your nigga, but I am telling you, take your happiness, your mental peace, your mental blessings, the things that make you happy, and consider the fuck out of them. Because don't nobody give a fuck about you at the end of the day. Like they said, if you lost your job today, if you died today, your job is going to hire somebody to replace you tomorrow. It is a business. This is life. You have to move on. You have to realize that at the end of the fucking day, sis, you got to be fucking happy. You have to care about yourself. Because don't nobody else give a damn about you. If you don't. If you don't put yourself in that position to say, okay, I'm worth something. So if I don't look at the dollar sign that my body and my life and my mental health is worth, why would somebody else care about it? And if you can take that time to really appreciate this shit you've been through, you know one thing, you don't want to do it again. You don't want to hurt no more. You don't want to cry no more. You don't care what people think about it. And I'll say this. If I can't be happy because it's worth it, it's not worth being happy. And I know now what mental peace and physical happiness is worth. I know what it is to hear someone say they're happy for me and really mean it. I know what it means to really know what it feels like to sleep and be peaceful and to be just in a state of bliss. I know what it's like to feel like I wake up and I don't wake up with anxiety. I don't hear my door close and I'm like, oh. Because it was so crazy. Things that trigger me were so triggering. Like, I would be cool in the house and he would come home and my anxiety would just go, dum dum. Or I would hear him come in and we not know what mood he's in. And you don't know the things that trigger your anxiety. It's fucking crazy. And I'm not going to say he was this whore, you know, horrible person. I will say he was a man that needed love and more love than I can give him. He was a man that needed more than I could ever give in every way possible. He needed more love. He needed more care. He needed more compassion. He needed more empathy. He needed more than I physically, mentally, and emotionally could give him anymore. And yes, it may look like a failure to some, but baby, if you've been through what I've been through, my God, tell your story at the altar. Because all my good days did not weigh my bad. So the bad days started to weigh me down in a way where I felt like I had weights on my feet. And I just knew this was not where God wanted me to be. So when I kept praying, like, God, what do I do? What do I do, God? What do I do? And I felt like he kept saying, bitch, get out. Not literally, but he was like, girl, get out of there. You in danger, girl. And I kept overlooking it or saying next time, next time. Or I kept trying to fix this broken home with more Band-Aids and super glue than our Lord should let me. It felt like you knew what it was. You knew this was not where you needed to be. You knew this was not your house. You knew this wasn't your home. You knew you shouldn't have done this. You knew you forced yourself to be in a position where you weren't happy, but you felt like I could be happy. Never settle. Never fucking settle. I've literally had this conversation with one of my good girlfriends who was going through a relationship turmoil. And when it comes to stuff like that, you have to be the friend that says, don't settle. Be happy. Ask for more. Go harder. Get out. Because seeing a woman who's so strong break down, it's heart-wrenching. It's heart-wrenching as a friend to want your friends to be happy, to want your friends to not go through the pain and the shit that you went through. And I look at my friends and I'm like, don't be me. I'm not embarrassed to say don't be me. See, I know a lot of bitches who won't tell you that they went through so much shit and then they go, Well, girl, after you done been through your storm and you fucked up, then they come around and go, girl, I was going through the same thing, but I didn't want to say nothing. No. Fuck no. I'm going to tell everyone who wants to hear it. I went through hell, and you are my friend, and I don't want you to go through that. I don't want you to go through a man who don't appreciate your love, your compassion, your giving, your heart, your blood, sweat, and tears that you invest. I don't want that. I don't want you to know what it's like to have someone tell you, I don't like you. You're fat. You're ugly. You're nasty. You're this. You're that. I don't care about you. I regret meeting you. I regret being with you. I regret all these things. I knew you were going to fuck up. I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to ruin my life. To hear someone say, you ruined my life, you knew that wasn't where you needed to be. Am I still to act like I had on sunglasses and kept acting like, you know, I kept acting like freaking Tina Turner. Getting her ass whooped and still going on stage and singing her good old song. And instead of, you know, like her friend said, he only got to hit me once. And it was like, that spoke volumes to me. When she said that and ran away, when they was in the restaurant eating the cake, ate the cake. And he stuffed the cake in her face and then forced her friend to kind of get embarrassed too. And she said, you only got to do it once. I'm going. I'm fucking out. And you a fool for staying. That was her friend. Because at the end of the day, guess what she did? She went right back to that friend, asked her to help her heal herself. Because she knew her friend was right. She knew her friend knew how bad it was. And she still, her friend opened that door, helped her heal herself, helped her gain her peace, helped her just be the best version of herself, just so she could get back to some kind of normality. That was her real friend. Because I know a lot of women who wouldn't help you rebuild, who wouldn't help you find your way back. They too afraid to tell you you're wrong. They too afraid to say, I'm here for you, even if you don't listen to me the first time. Because that's what happened. Her friend told her, you a fool for staying. But you know what her friend also knew? When you in love, and it's such a, I don't want to say sickness, but sheesh, when it's a sickness, you can't talk nobody out of that. You just can't. And you can't talk nobody out of it because you don't know the type of hold it has on them. You don't know what type of hold it is to love somebody more than you love yourself. And I didn't want to make it public that, you know, things were so bad and we were so unhappy and life was so, you know, trash. It was like, no, it wasn't always like that. But talking to my friends who had been through some bad stuff, they were like, girl, you look lighter. You look happier. You look peaceful. You look blissful. You look like you're not stressed. All I could do is say, because I ain't crying over no man. I ain't stressing over no man. I ain't hunting down no man. And I damn sure ain't sitting around waiting for some man to come and tell me the things that I already know. I know I'm beautiful. I know I'm sexy. I know I'm worth it. I know I could be loved. All those things that I wanted someone else to tell me, I told myself. And did I explore some things? Absolutely. I went back to an old fling and I told him, you know, hey, you know, I don't need a relationship. I just need someone who makes me feel good. Now you could take this in whatever context you want to fucking take it, okay? Because we friends. He said, I'm only here because you want me here. But I'm here to make you feel better because you are beautiful, you are sexy, your body is sexy, your mental is sexy, but I'm going to help you get that thing you lost messing with him. Baby! People don't know how much of a stepping stone they are. And people don't know how much you need them when you do. So when they say things like, I want you to get it. I want you to get back what you missed. I want you to regain that sparkle. Because when I tell you, my homegirl was like, yo, your Instagram has changed, sis. I said, what you mean? She said, you never really post yourself before. She was like, I would say in the last couple of years, you really haven't posted as much. And you stopped posting. And you really, you haven't been the same. She was like, but I don't know what's up with you. But you gaining yourself back. And I said, She said, not to say, you know, you not yourself, but you could tell whatever you lost, that bad bitch that you lost, that fly bitch that you lost, that sexy woman you lost, you gained it back. You're gaining it back. And I was like, that's interesting. Because don't nobody know me and him mess around. And nobody might even know he even exists. Don't nobody know who, what, when, where, or why. And our relationship was made for that. Our relationship was purposely so that we both could, he get some out of it, I get some out of it. I get good dick and somebody who makes me feel like, to Meg the who, Beyonce the who, this pound cake over here is the sweetest one in the bakery. Let me tell you that. So, having someone make you feel like that, and I'm not saying go find you a side nigga. What I'm saying is find somebody who values, because you're not going to need a relationship right away. You're not. What you're going to need is someone who's going to make you look at yourself in that view you did at that 20. You know when you turned between the age 18 and 22? Or couldn't nobody tell you your ass wasn't the fattest, your titties weren't the best, your body wasn't popping, you wasn't the baddest bitch in the club? You know that vibe? Because I'll tell you, every girl went through that at that phase, because that's the one phase where you feel grown because you're 18 and you just grown enough when you turn 21 to drink and you start going places where people notice you and it's you putting these outfits together. Ain't nobody restricting you or how you look. And you put on that bad bitch outfit and you go out and them dudes can't do nothing but say, how you doing? How you doing? I feel like that. And I just found daddy. I feel like it's really hard to lose yourself, but it's even harder to get her back. And you don't want to lose her. You don't want to lose the fact that you are pretty. You don't want to lose the fact that you're intelligent. You don't want to lose the fact that you're a good person, that you are a provider, that you are amazing, that you aren't just someone else's. You lose that. You lose every bit of yourself trying to be someone else's best version. But if people don't appreciate it, you have this hard time of trying to convince yourself that you're still sexy. Because I definitely didn't feel sexy after having my daughter. I didn't. I felt like a big fat blob. And my ex made me feel like, you're right, you are a big fat blob. And I was just like, cool, this is me, thanks. But I also knew it took me giving up on myself because I felt so low that kind of like gave that a footstool. But I also knew as much as he took, I gave away. And I want you to feel like you can do it. You know, like you can't lose things and think that it's going to be so easy to get them back. But I'm not saying go find a man to do it. But I'll tell you, it helps. It helps to have somebody tell you how beautiful you are. It's great when men tell me how gorgeous I am, because I had the man that I love tell me opposite. it was so crazy. We went to couples therapy, and the first thing he said to the couple, well, she lied to me. And he goes, wow, how did she lie to you? He said, well, she said when she lied, when she, after she had my child, that she was going to lose this weight, she was going to bounce back, she was going to be back to this, and she was going to do this and that. And I did. I made those promises. But I also knew I didn't have someone who made me feel good about losing weight. And when I talked about losing weight, it was kind of a comical thing. And it was kind of like, okay, girl. And it was just like, you bashing me or making me feel bad because I decided to go to the gym or because I went to the gym without you. I was shitty. You had all these flaws that you gave me. And a lot of hurtful things that added the food to my belly, basically. I couldn't just bounce back. And he literally told our therapist, like, oh, yeah, you know, she got fat. And I don't want to marry a fat girl. His phrase was, fucking fat women is fun. Marrying one isn't. Let that settle. I'll wait. This is the man I was supposed to get married to, y'all. This is the man I was engaged to. This is the man who I was willing to sacrifice it all to be with. And this was his perception of me. And our therapist looked at us. And, you know, after we had a couple more conversations in that same session, he was, all right, we're going to take y'all separately. So when he took us separately, I broke down. He said, how do you feel? And all I could do is just cry. I felt ugly. I felt hideous. I felt shitty. I felt bad. I felt disgusting. I felt ugly. And I'm just like bawling in this man's office, fighting and paying him to tell me how to fix this relationship with the man who just told him I'm too fat to be his wife. Not because I was depressed. Not because I went through, you know, postpartum depression. Not because I just gave birth to a child. Not because we're dealing with your mental instability, your children's mental instability, your baby mamas, your life, your changes, your growth, your non-growth, our stress with money, our stress with life, our stress with everything. None of those things added to my weight. Just me eating. And this is the person I was willing to, you know, kind of get shunned by my family from, because they knew he was a bad idea, but I kept making it seem like they didn't know me and he knew me and I was happy. And, you know, all this blissfulness. And let me tell you, backstory on my family. Me and my family are pretty close. And I would say close enough where it's close. Like, we are family. We're probably a better version of closeness than most Black families could tell you without the dysfunction. But to see, I'll say this. So after I told my sister-in-law, like, hey, you know, me and him are breaking up, because I told my family in pieces, because I didn't need a lot of naysayers or I didn't need a lot of told you so's. So when I went to visit my brothers and tell them kind of in person, because the only person I really told was my older brother. I had called him and broke down, and his wife kind of put two and two together because she follows me on social media. But my sister-in-law and I went for a walk because I said, oh, you know, me and C are breaking up and I'm moving out. She's like, we got to go for a walk. This is. This is me and my sister talking. And I laugh because I'm like, yeah, you know, this is her coping mechanism. Excuse me. And she's like, we gotta go for a walk. So we go for a walk and we're talking, and she's like, how do you feel? I'm like, I'm okay. You know, I tell her my feelings, tell her what's going on. And she's like, what do you need right now? And I said, I need a trip. I need a family trip. So we haven't had one since we went to Mexico, and so much has changed, so much has, you know, happened. And I really just want to be around y'all. So my family devises a plan for my birthday for us to go to the Poconos for 4 days. And when I say it was the best trip I've had in a long time, it really was the best trip I've had in a long time. I laughed, we ate, My family sang happy birthday to me. We got to explore some nature. My daughter got to hang around her cousins. My mom got to be around her grandchildren. Me and my brothers just kind of vibe like the old days. And it was what I needed. And I didn't know I needed it. And I'm so grateful because my sister and I was like, this is it. This is what you wanted. And I said, oh my fucking God, I forgot we had this conversation. But to sum it all up, because I'll talk for days, run. Get away if you need to get away. Go if you need to go. Be happy if you need to be happy. Bitch, if you need peace, find it. Do what you gotta do to get your peace. Do what you gotta do to be happy. Do what you gotta do if it's selfish. But you know that God has given you a sign, and this is your sign. If you're listening to this podcast and you're like, God, I need a sign. Should I leave that man? Let me just tell you, this is your sign. Get your shit and get the fuck out of there. Okay? I love you for listening. And I promise you I will be back. Thank you so much. And I love you. Love yourself. And I'm out.